to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run in, chump.
My patience begins.
I'm here to meet your fate.
He's right. This is his first test.
Then one iron club blow sends the first guard to the moon's
Try my new electro sun ray.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Hello? Hello, hello, hello. Another week, another What Are You Reading comic book show. I'm your host, The Surfer. And it's a Sunday, as always, 5 p.m. Eastern time, and whatever time zone you're in listening live or whenever you're listening on the replay. Thanks for listening. And we're here to talk comic books, of course, here on RantEMRadio.com. And hopefully you can listen live in our RantEMRadio live chat room, where you can also ask questions and communicate with other people in the chat room. Or you can listen live on Podbean. Not Podbean. Tune in to Stitcher. Or you can listen on the download on iTunes or Podbean and maybe other formats if I can figure it out. So, let's get started. Oh, sorry. If you want to join the show, you have Skype. You can call in at SilverSurfer_forever. Because the show is really about talking to you more than me rambling on. So, if you want to talk about comic books or comic book movies, anything related, you know, toys maybe, anime, that type of thing, feel free to give me a call. And I'll start off with some box office numbers. There's only one box office we all care about, which of course is, for the third week in a row, Black Panther's the number one movie. And let's see how much it added to this, to the total this week. I clicked on the wrong thing. Alright, here we go. So, Black Panther added $65 million to its total of $501 million after 3 weeks. And the movie doesn't look like it's slowing down at all. Worldwide, it has made it up to $897 million. About to hit that billion mark, and it hasn't even opened up in China or Japan. I believe they're opening up this weekend or this week in those markets. So we will see how that adds, how the movie responds in those markets, and whether it helps shoots it up more. And a lot of people have gone to see this movie a good 3 or 4 times, maybe even more. I'm upset with myself. I haven't seen it yet. Again, it's been more than a week. I need to get back to Wakanda. The food is just fantastic. But anyway, now Black Panther, which you start off my first story, is now among the top 10 highest grossing films domestically. So that's a bold statement. Says Ryan Coogler's Black Panther is now among the top 10 highest grossing films of all time at the domestic box office, having earned over $500 million in North America. The total puts Black Panther past Finding Dory, which was previously the 10th highest grossing domestic film of all time. It's a damn shame that a forgetful fish made so much money. The movie's just shy of passing 2017's Beauty of the Beast, which is at $504 million. After Beauty of the Beast, Black Panther will beat fellow Disney's film Rogue One and Warner Brothers' movie The Dark Knight. And that's up to, that's at 534. So if it beats out Dark Knight, that's saying something. The newest installment in Marvel's Cinematic Universe is still a fair distance away from supplanting Marvel's Avengers, and that made $623 million. However, it is, has already surpassed the domestic totals of Age of Ultron, which made $459 million domestically. And that was in 2015. So, this could add another $50 to $100 million over its theatrical release in the United States. The film hasn't been dropping that huge from week to week, like it was 200 the first week. It dropped less than 50% the second week, and it's dropped less than 50% this week. So if it keeps dropping less than 50%, it'll add to its total. Plus, not to mention, it is making money during the week too. Now, next week, of course, A Wrinkle in Time comes out, and there's about three other movies opening next weekend. So it'll be interesting to see if people decide to go see these new movies or whether they want to keep going back to Wakanda tonight. And what's next on the agenda? We'll find an old story. Now, of course, as I mention every week, you can follow the stories that I usually talk about on the What Are You Reading comic book page. And that's on Facebook. Let's see. So here we go. Make sure I don't talk about last week's 27. What day was the 27? Oh, okay. That was Tuesday. Okay. See, this is what happens when I don't have a co-host. I talk to myself, and it's, I know that makes me sound crazy. But what can I do? Until I find me a new co-host. You know, nobody wants to work with me now. That's what happens when I get piled, mad, and hungry. Anyway. So, yeah, one story was about it reached 400, Black Panther reaching 400 million. That's old. Old. Okay, I think I found the first story. Okay. In celebration of Black Panther's success, Disney is donating $1 million to youth STEM programs. Cheap bastards, only $1 million. You're making 500 million. Okay. Anyway, let me read the story to you. So the Walt Disney Company has donated $1 million to the Boys and Girls Clubs of America in celebration of the record-breaking success of Black Panther. The company announced Monday in a statement. The grant will support the expansion of Boys and Girls Clubs of America's STEM centers of innovation, including 12 new sites across the country. These youth STEMs, which is science, technology, engineering, and math programs, support the high-tech skills seen in Black Panther, exhibited by the most technologically advanced Wakanda and its chieftain inventor Shuri. Skills that are essential to helping you succeed. Marvel Studio Black Panther is a masterpiece of movie making and has become an instant cultural phenomenon, sparking discussion. Inspiring people young and old and breaking down age-old industry's myth, says Disney chair. So it's a start. Your kids advance in these fields, and you know, maybe one day making a real Wakanda. So let's see. No pop-up, no pop-ups. Let me cut this off. Okay, so that is a nice thing when you read the story up close about what they're donating the money for. Now, I mentioned before about a petition about, you know, them donating some of the money to the black community. Now, who knows if Disney's going to respond to that or not, but who knows? Speaking of petitions, there's another petition out there for a Black Panther TV spinoff. Let's see, did I miss a call? Hold on, I might have missed a call. Let's see. Somebody sent me a message, sorry. Okay, so so the fans launched a petition for a Black Panther TV spinoff. And it says that Black Panther fans have launched an online petition to lobby Marvel for a television spinoff focusing on Wakanda. Telling the backstory of Wakanda would be a game changer, Eric Hamilton, the petition's creator, wrote on Change.org. Nobody goes to listen to Change.org anymore. How did Wakanda become the most technologically advanced country on Earth? From the technology to the artistry, coupled with a rich African tradition, fans demand more. See, the petition, which already has more than 4,000 supporters, call for a Wakanda-focused series to stream on Netflix, which has a track record of creating interesting Marvel series. However, Disney plans to launch its own streaming service in 2019. Well, that's good. But I have talked about them launching a Disney streaming service, which can open up getting a Wakanda TV show. So yeah, you never know. Maybe this petition is the right thing to do. And I'm for it. Yeah, let's go. Let's get a TV show. It seems like, though, that Marvel and Disney, you know, with the TV shows they're doing now, it's like, you know, they thought they was going to expand into a lot of TV shows on network television. You know, they talked about doing a Hawk TV show for a long time, and even a She-Hulk TV show. You're not sure if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will make it past this season. Even though I've always said that this show has gotten better and better with each season, and you know, I'm not going to cry over it if this is the last season, because they could have canceled this like at the season 2 if they wanted to. But I would like to see it go on, and then of course, you know, the Inhumans, you know, they really messed up on that one. They should have never rushed it, trying to get it on TV without fully developing it in the right way that would get fans interested, you know. And you know, a show like that needs special effects, and they tried to cheap out in the special effects department. So, and if you didn't know the Inhumans, that show wouldn't have got you to go into a comic book store and buy a book. So yeah, they really messed up. But who knows? Maybe once the streaming service is up and running, you know, they may put a lot of effort into trying to, you know, put out quality TV shows. And I don't know. Okay, I didn't talk about this already. But speaking of Blood Wakanda, because we can't get out of Wakanda, Disney wants to open up a theme park, which, you know, makes sense for Disney, you know, Disney World to make a theme park based on Wakanda. So for fans who have marveled at the glory of Wakanda, Wakanda Forever, on-screen and Ryan Coogler's record-breaking Black Panther. Well, it seems that plans are about afoot for a ride revolving around the character's world at an ever-popular Disney theme park. Duh. Seemed like an easy thing to do, you know. Make up a Wakanda street. You know, got people dressed up like Wakandans. Then, like, you know, you go on a roller coaster or some ride where, you know, you're watching the screen and the card shakes and, you know, get some African food up in there. Easy to do. So, might make me go to Disney World one of these days. Oh, man. I'm supposed to get some calls from some people. Where they at? Where you at? Who's seeing this in the chat room? Stanley. What is this crazy fool saying? Yeah, Stanley. Yeah, he's telling me he's going to be my co-host. I believe that when you start calling in on a regular basis. And talking about comic books, not your crazy stuff you like to talk about. Okay, man, what? This storyline I can skip over, talking about Black Panther going to surpass $1 billion a year. We know that. Now, New Mutants. It's a Marvel heavy week across the news. It says New Mutants movie reshoots will add a new character. Forgetting everything you thought or knew about foxes, the New Mutants, because the X-Men spinoff is reportedly set to undergo some pretty big changes. A new report indicates that the extensive reshoot plan for this summer will add another character to the film cast. I thought the movie was coming out like April or something like that. Maybe I'm wrong. It was supposed to be out in April. It said initially announced for release in April. Director Josh Boone horror tinged movie was moved last month amidst the X-Men franchise reshuffling to February 2019. Oh, they cheating themselves a movie. Although the reason for the move was never officially disclosed, it is reported that the New Mutants will use the extra time to play up its horror elements. Don't make it too scary. I don't like horror movies. However, the Hollywood Reporter now indicates that the changes to the film will be even more significant as a new character is expected to be added during reshoots, suggesting alterations to the plot. The New Mutants, of course, there is no word yet as to the identity of the new character. Maybe they're putting Negasonic Teenage Warhead, whatever her name was. So, these are some of the characters from the New Mutants. Macy Williams is playing Wolfsbane. Anna Taylor-Joy is playing Magic. Charlie Heaton is playing Cannonball. Blue Hunt is playing Danny Moonstar, and Henry Zager is playing Sunspot. So, anybody who's waiting on the New Mutants, you gotta wait even longer. Let's see. New Mutants. Here's one of my favorite stories of the week. So, listen up closely. Brian K. Vaughan reportedly writing a Silver Surfer movie for Fox. And that story's got to wait because I got a call. This is Skype gets them on. Mr. Hightower.
What's up? I haven't called in a while.
I know. Give me the Wakanda greeting before you come on my show.
I'm more of a claw guy.
Traitor.
Oh, man. I'm glad to be back on, man. I've been trying to call in for the longest, but been have to do other stuff. Catching up on a lot of comic books on Sunday.
Like what? What you been reading?
Maestro. A lot of Image comics. Maestro, Port of Earth. What else I've been reading? I've been reading this new book. It's like a image. It's an Image book too, but it's more of a guy that's a local. At my local comic book shop, he got a comic. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. But I was about to say, most guys might be more local than you realize, because comic books today, it's not like everybody's in New York or whatever central location making comic books. Most people live in their own hometown.
Yeah, Berkeley.
And then
where I work at.
You know, they write the book, email it to the person who's drawing it.
Yeah.
They email it to the person who's coloring it. They email it to the company. And then they get emailed back what changes that needs to be made and whatever. So, yeah, people live in their own towns now.
Doing their own little comics. Yeah, there's a couple of comics out that I'm reading that's from literally from California.
Mm-hmm.
From the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Catching up on my comics.
And a lot of comic creators live on the West Coast these days. You know, people like Bendis is from the West Coast. He's on the West Coast. And, you know, DC moved their offices out to California because they're... DiDio and Lee and all of them, they lived out there, and they're like, "Hey, why are we doing this in New York when we can do this in California?" So,
I mean, don't they still got some people out in L.A.? I mean, New York. I mean,
I don't know if they moved everything out to California from New York, but most of their stuff is in California now. So that was a couple years ago that happened.
I mean, because comics are still not big in certain places in California. I know it's big in the Bay Area, but it's not big in Northern California. Mm-hmm. And I know as it is as big as in the East Coast. It's not that big out here as everybody think it is. There's only like a couple really like diehard comic book fans. Out in California.
So, how many times have you seen Black Panther?
2 times. Hey, I kind of did want to talk about that. That's why I came on here, too.
You kind of slow, man. 2 times. Really?
2 times. Yeah, 2 times.
The movie been out for 3 weeks.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just kidding. No, go ahead.
I was supposed to go see... I was supposed to go see it a third time, but... it was a good movie. It was... I kind of didn't like some stuff in there. I didn't like Killmonger in the beginning. I already know that he was Killmonger. I didn't kind of... He became the king of Wakanda. I did want to say something right quick, because I know a lot of people kind of got mad that a lot of black people got dressed up in... not kind of mad, but kind of got like everybody. How can I put this?
They dressed up in African clothing.
I think the movie was very political driven.
Okay, what do you mean? Wait. Well, I'm confused with your statement. Wait, you people was mad because of the way people were dressed up, or because it was a political statement in the movie?
Yeah, it was a political statement in the movies. And this is like, how can I put this? This is the first time that we actually had a comic book character that, besides Blade, that, well, nobody know that Blade was a comic book character. This is the first comic book character shining light on, you know, it's not a goofy ass character. It's not a goofy comic book character, and everybody is excited about it. And I see, you know, some people talking about it. It's not a big deal. There's other comic book characters out there, but there's not a comic book character that there's not a comic book character that they made in the movies that was like a Batman movie. You know, it wasn't jokey
well,
and shit.
Well, it's like this. This is the first time we got a movie with the kind of budget this movie had. And, you know, look, who doesn't love Blade? You know, that started this current comic book trend we're in now. But Blade was the only person running around.
But nobody didn't know. A lot of black people don't read comics.
Yeah, people, you know, when you watch the film, the first thing pops up is, says Marvel. So...
But they still don't know that. Like, a lot of people don't know. A lot of black people don't know about Marvel, though. Let's just get it out.
Listen,
a lot of people don't know about Marvel.
You don't have to have read a comic book to know about Marvel and DC. You grew up watching TV, you saw a cartoon or two. You know, if you went to a theme park, you saw some characters dressed up. There's other ways people know about Marvel and DC besides reading a comic book. Yeah. Not to mention the toys. So, you know, it's not like it was some hidden secret Blade was a comic book character. But the thing was, as far as a movie, that was a modest budget movie that relied heavily more on Wesley Snipes' star power than the character itself. Plus, outside of him and the girl he's protecting, and the girl that was his mother, there wasn't even a lot of black people in that movie. And...
Okay. I mean, it wasn't.
And then, you know, after that, you know...
It wasn't. It's just my thing. Go ahead.
We got Steel, but, you know, it was... That was... They was trying to depend on Shaquille O'Neal's popularity and not the fact that he can't act. I mean... You can put him in certain things and he can get away with it, but he's not an actor. And so...
He's not an actor.
You know, X-Men comes out and, you know, you only get Storm. And, you know, some people was upset who was cast as Storm, but that's their problem. And then... Before Black Panther, you know what I always said was the comic book movie with the most black people in it?
What?
Spider-Man. Because throughout that movie, when he's swinging around and kicking ass, there's always some black person in the background talking about, "Go, Spidey, go!" So.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm just saying, like, this is the first time for a lot of black people to watch a movie just because they don't know about Black Panther.
And yeah, everybody.
A couple people is like, oh, it's a lot of black characters. They don't know, so don't blame them. They ain't gonna know. You know, I don't like when white people do that shit. Like, a lot of black people don't know shit all the time.
Listen,
they don't know about these characters. They don't know about Black Panther.
I've seen people, you know, it's the backlash because this movie is overdone what the people thought and the popularity of it. Critically acclaimed. It's making money left and right. So you're always going to have some people that's going to come with the negative, come with the, you know, contrarian point.
Yeah.
And I've seen videos like, oh, why is people making such a deal about Black Panther? We've had Blade. We've had this. We've had that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It does not matter.
No.
This is the first actual big budget. To me, it doesn't matter. It's an actual big budget that sheds light on an African character.
It's more than that. It's the fact that both in front and behind the camera, you had a black presence, you know, the director, you know, So you have the presence both in front and behind the camera, plus you've had the budget of this film, and then the positive imagery. You know, this is not a movie where, you know, it's somebody in jail on drugs, being called derogatory terms. You got none of that. You got none of the negative things you mostly see in black films. Now, what did that translate to other films? That's what we have to look out for, because some studios may look at that film and say, let's just do our own black superhero. And miss the point. It's not about just doing black superheroes. It's about doing these films.
Yeah, it's not period. Now. Yeah, I understand that. It's just not about. I'm just saying, like, my defense. I hear some from people on the podcast, many other podcasters that I listen to, comic book podcasters, stating like some of them is like, oh, there's a lot of black superheroes. Okay, this is the first black superhero that's not a fucking crackhead. Not making fun of, not no fucking joke, is Black Panther, African superhero, shit, something like Superman. If I don't know, I just hate when people do that shit. I hate when white people do that shit.
Well, look, don't let it bother you. It's still just a film. I mean, yes,
it's right now. It's an important film at the end of the day, but I just hate saying when people do that shit. I hate when white people do that shit. A lot of black, like I said,
hold on a second. Hold on,
no shit about Marvel.
Don't let it bother. I keep getting knocked off the air for some reason. I don't know why that's been happening to me every week. It didn't used to happen to me before. So anyway, I'm back on now. Continue, my friend.
Oh yeah, so and a lot of black people didn't know about that it's a Marvel movie. Some black people thought that it was about the Black Panther Party, and I explained to them that it's not, and I gave them a little history lesson on Black Panther.
There are people who are, like they didn't want this film to succeed for whatever reasons. Yeah. I watched these reviews where, the so-called right wing, why am I saying ring? The right wing, ring, I'm not going to get it right. Anyway, they've been trying to say, what's the big deal about this movie? Or trying to call it racist because it's too many black people. Ignore all the noise.
Yeah,
the money's being
made. That's how the movie is.
First of all, the money's being made, and it's not being made by me or you or anybody else, but Disney and Marvel. So
Disney and Marvel. Well, Disney altogether, but ran by the mouse. The mouse is getting the money. I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm just saying. That's all. That's the only problem I had with that. And some black people too. They being ignorant and shit.
Mm-hmm.
it's fault on both sides, but that shit just irritate me. Once you explain to them, instead of fucking, oh, this is not like, shut the fuck up. But overall, it's a good movie. Like I said, Killmonger could have been a little bit better in the beginning.
Most people think he's probably the best villain Marvel has produced.
Not in the beginning.
What did he do wrong in the beginning?
It just didn't seem like Killmonger to me in the beginning.
What, in the beginning when he's they're getting the Wakandan weapon?
Yeah, and then you already could tell that the little kid was Killmonger. Like, that was very easy too. I was like, okay.
But you know what I didn't catch the first time I saw the movie till the second time I watched it? When you're hearing about the history of Wakanda, first you assume that's Black Jim. Panther and his father talking, but really it's Killmonger and his father talking about Wakanda.
Oh shit! I didn't catch that. I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, because he talks about how he grew up thinking in this Wakanda was this fairy tale land he was going to see one day, because father kept promising one day, so I'm gonna take you to this beautiful land, and then of course, he doesn't get there that way because his father is killed, and he's left all by himself in Oakland.
That's where I'm from, actually, and I'm glad they put that in, because I am from Oakland.
Well, yeah, that's where Ryan Coogler's from.
Yeah, yep, that's where he's from. That's where his brother from, too. Yep.
And, you know, of course, that is the symbolism that the Black Panther Party started in Oakland.
And they gave a nod to that. I think that Ryan Coogler kind of gave it. Now, that was kind of...
You mean with them when they had the guns and everything?
Yeah, they kind of gave a nod to the Black Panther Party, which I think they should have not. And I see why some white people would get mad about that. They could have not did that. Now, I kind of agree with that. And that's just that they could have left that part out. But it's Ryan Coogler.
You know, one of the original things they wanted to do with Black Panther in the 90s, when Wesley Snipes was supposed to be attached to play Black Panther, John Singleton, he wanted to direct a story where the Black Panther comes to America in the 60s and start the Black Panther Party.
Oh.
That would have dodged. I'm glad we dodged that bullet.
Yeah, I'm glad we did.
But, you know, hey, maybe we probably would have got a decent movie back then, but it wouldn't have been movie. No. They wouldn't have had the money and the technology to create a Wakanda like they did in this. And, you know, part of that helps with when them being able to, like, create Asgard and... You know, create a world out there in space for Guardians. So you know, okay, they know how to create a fictional place. So they've had enough practice at it. So they was able to apply it to Black Panther, and you know, it they didn't have to like film like skylines from other cities and pretend it was part of Wakanda like they probably would have did. Back in the 90s, like you see that in like Arrow, like in the first couple seasons, they would show you a skyline from a city, and if you look at it and say, "Oh, that's my skyline, that's a Seattle skyline," you would know what it is. But they would act like that was all part of Star City, you know.
Star City, yeah.
Yeah, you know, use that stock
cutting costs. That's all.
No, but I'm just saying that you know. It's television. It's not like they can create a fictional city, even Gotham. You know,
they use all different type of skylines. That's to cut it. That's really to cut costs.
Mm-hmm. I still haven't gotten the soundtrack yet, but I'm gonna try to get it.
Oh, I actually have the soundtrack on. My iPhone.
I do have the music as my ringtone now, so on my cell phone.
I do like Killmonger song when he walk into the throne room.
The first time or the second time?
I think the second time.
After he's taking the throne.
King, yeah. That was like a beautiful scene right there. That was like a nice ass scene that they did. But a lot of people are comparing, because one of my coworkers I was talking to, and she compared it to Lion King.
Yeah, I've heard
this
that.
This ain't nothing but Lion King.
I've heard comparisons of that. It's no big deal.
It kind of is, though. If you, I was looking at it, I was like,
well,
yeah,
let's find out when they do a live action Lion King. What do we see, the same imageries or not? You know, though, after seeing Black Panther, though, I find... bald women so much more beautiful than I have in the past. That scene where he's walking into the UN with his two bodyguards.
Yeah.
I mean, they look stunning. Black dresses and those smooth heads and everything.
Very stunning. Mm-hmm. Very beautiful. Very beautiful, especially, what's her name? Especially little sister.
Danny Garari.
Yeah, and little sister was pretty good. T'Challa, the dude that played T'Challa, Black Panther, he was kind of just there.
Well,
I understand. He kind of was just
there. Listen, they could have did a movie where it was just him doing everything and everybody else was in the background, but they did more of a movie where more people got to step to the forefront and do their thing.
I do agree with a lot of people on this. The world of Wakanda was more interesting than him. You gotta admit it.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, because you know, it was so many characters that had so much to say and do, that just because you think that his character wasn't much, I mean, like I said, it was more of an ensemble movie than just the one guy and everything he's doing.
So, they had a hell of a cast. They had a hell of a good cast too.
I mean, Winston, the one thing, Winston Duke, when he shows up as in Baku, and you know they find a way to use that character without making it so stereotypically racist, you know, calling him man ape and everything in the comics. Yeah. You know, but still making him a character, people was like, this guy's doing a great job, and they want to see more. I mean, he's going to be in Civil War. No, I mean, not Civil War. He's going to be in
Infinity War. I think Infinity all of them going to be in the
War. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You see them in the trailer. You see them, like, lined up, ready to fight. And,
What about dude from Get Out? You think he's the one that went into the mountains now, or what do you think?
What do you mean, went into the mountains?
You think he went into the mountains?
Okay. We don't know what happens afterwards. You know, it could have been a thing where Black Panther's like, "All you motherfuckers betrayed me, and y'all going to jail." It's like, look, let's just heal the country, and everything's cool. You know, I forgive you. Everyone's forgiven, and you know. We don't know. They could have shown that, but I'm assuming that, you know, Black Panther going through what he did and kind of understanding why some people would be willing to follow Killmonger and what he wanted to do, that he'd be like, look, let's just get the country back together and you know.
Now in the comics, White Wolf, I know they when Bucky was. White Wolf was another character in the comics, right?
Yeah, Bucky's not becoming White Wolf. That's just like an Easter egg.
As the Easter eggs, giving a nod to the comic. Yeah, they did a lot of nods. I mean, and did a couple of Easter eggs. Now, did you see any Easter eggs with any of the, like? Did you see Wale in there? I bet you didn't even see Wale.
Wale, where was he at?
He was the dude that was dancing. There were some cameos that nobody didn't really pay attention to.
Okay, dancing with what scene?
It was the scene when I think I don't know if it was the middle scene or was the end of the scene when they was in the city. I think it was the city he was walking with the girl, his ex girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
And then you see the dude dancing like with the dreads.
Oh, okay.
Look very closely. That's Wale. Like if you. Like I was, that's Wale. And the second time I seen it again, I paid attention. That was Wale. And I heard there's another couple more cameos in there.
Yeah, I should have had a cameo in that movie.
Who?
I said I should have had a cameo in that movie. Next time they filming down in Atlanta, maybe I'm gonna go down there. Anyway, I forgot to turn my phone off. Let's see. Let me finish reading this one story.
Okay.
And it's about Silver Surfer movie being made by Fox. And it's a feature film starring Marvel Comics Galactic Traveler. Silver Surfer is in the work for 20th Century Fox with writer Brian K. Vaughan. Of course, he made the Runaways. News comes as the fate of
Fox. Silver Surfer, the dude that made Runaways?
Yeah.
The news comes as the
fate of Fox's X-Men franchise films up in the air after Disney moves to acquire the studio TV and film assets. A report from THR notes that the Fox has several secret projects in the work, with Vaughn Silver Surfer listed as one example. An executive connected to the project is quoted as saying, "We are going 100 miles per hour," meaning Fox moving towards its forward with the superhero films, regardless of Disney Fox buyout. And here's the thing: Fox you better get some of these movies started right away, because if it's not started by the time this buyout is done, you can just put everything on hold at that point, because I doubt that Marvel and Disney's going to allow these movies to go through without them getting their hands on it. And, you know, who knows what plans they may have. They may have plans of merging everything, and these movies don't fit in that plan. So
they kind of do, and they kind of can. They kind of can just leave it how it is. Don't make no more X-Men movies. Just leave it how it is. After the Phoenix one, just leave it how it is, because that could be their last movie. And before anything, if I was Marvel, I'd bring in X-Men. No, actually, I'll bring in Deadpool first. I'll bring in Deadpool first, because he's kind of a fourth wall character. I kind of bring him into the fold, to the cinematic universe.
Listen, he may be the only one, like, once this goes through a year or two down the line,
to connect.
To connect, but I'm saying, like, all right, they'd say, let's bring in Deadpool and team him up with whoever, Spider-Man. Yeah. You know? Yeah. You know, he's probably the only one where they would keep Ryan Reynolds in the role as Deadpool moving forward, whereas, no, like, you know, whoever's playing Cyclops, they may say, we want to cast him, make him older, make it more, you know, because the current X-Men is in the past. And they may want to, you know, recast the X-Men. They have to recast Wolverine unless, Hugh Jackman decides to do it again.
They kind of doing this. Well, they're making kind of smart. Okay, Dark Phoenix is like, will be like the 90s, right? So they kind of like starting over a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not too thrilled about Dark Phoenix, to be honest with you.
I'm not too thrilled about Phoenix either. I'm a big Phoenix fan. Not thrilled about
I'm a Phoenix fan. I just don't think they're going to get it right.
They not. But let Marvel fix that later on down the line.
And then they haven't explained how in these X-Men movies they keep making every 10 years apart how nobody looks any older from one movie to the next.
Well, this won't be in the 90s, so...
Right, and the one before was in the 80s.
And they can just... If I was... See, now, this is where they can be smart at. If I was Marvel after Phoenix, I'll say X-Men 1, 2, and 3 is not in canon no more. I'll throw that out and then remake the X-Men.
Okay.
A smart move. Smart move on their behalf. Just get down the cat and keep future past, keep all that, keep future past, whatever.
You're not gonna forget these movies. It's just a question of doing movies now with all one cinematic universe. Let's not act like they didn't happen. You can pretend like they was in a different reality. But
Deadpool can hold this all together.
That too. I mean, look. Deadpool can be the one character that he's the same in any reality that he shows up in. Because
he just broke the fourth wall.
Because the character may not work on film without Ryan Reynolds. He's all in on the project. That's been his thing. It would have never got made if he didn't push for it and they didn't make that video clip that somewhat made it into the movie. They got online and was at conventions and stuff, so
he already kind of said something about Disney in one of the trailers.
So what do you think about all this news that's been coming out about the DC movies, as far as with Snyder, that he was
it's just so disappointing
that he was
fired
from Justice League, and
I think he fucked up Batman versus Superman. He fucked up.
Well, okay, I was watching comic book news video today. The guy was explaining that there was a lot of interference from the studios from Warner Brothers as to what they wanted in Batman v Superman, Really? You know, because they were rushing to try to catch up to Marvel, which everybody knew they were doing.
Yeah, that kind of could. But
and
they,
hold up, real quick. All the things that's wrong with that film isn't necessarily Zack Snyder's fault. And then the same thing happened with Justice League, where he's trying to make a movie and there's a lot of interference in the from the studio directors. And then, of course, they say he was fired. They used the excuse of his daughter's death as a reason to save face with everybody. And Joss Whedon, who originally was supposed to be brought in to do a Batgirl movie, was really brought in to finish Justice League. And now that that's over, now they're saying that now he's leaving. Word is he's leaving Batgirl. He claims he can't find a story. And now Warner Brothers is saying that Batgirl isn't a high priority of a movie to make.
No. See, this is what the fuck they messed up at. This one thing I love about Marvel is they have a team of motherfuckers that go straight to the comic book. You have hundreds upon hundreds of comic books. Fucking read them. That's what they need to start fucking doing. No. That's what they messing up at. They are not going back to the source.
It's not about the source.
You know what made Marvel so good? Because they
probably
sit there.
It's not about
there.
The source. It's,
no,
the,
no,
the whole,
no.
Listen. No.
Go ahead.
This is what the problem is. Marvel Studios was created specifically to make these comic book movies based on the source. Where Warner Brothers, they're just a regular studio. They just look at these properties as just items to use. And they don't care about using the source or not.
So they're never going to have it. So if they're smart,
they should have. Hey, listen, the one thing they should have copied from Marvel, they should have made their own studio. DC, their own studio. The only thing Warner Brothers is doing is distributing it.
All
right?
Yeah, but listen though. All that put to the side, still, it doesn't fucking matter. If you see what they're doing, and we can do it, then, I mean, if we see what they're doing, then they can do the fucking same thing as Marvel doing. It doesn't matter. Right. All that shit put to the side. They need to go to the source of comic books. Stop being fucking lazy. Stop thinking that you're going to make a big project movie, because it's not going to fucking, it's always going to keep flopping until you go back to the source and read. There's hundreds upon hundreds of good stories.
Listen, that doesn't matter if you take a standard script writer to write your scripts, and they may or may not know anything about comic books. They just, they're on staff as a script writer. And
so
then you go with you go with the standard directors. Like Zack Snyder, he's done plenty of Warner Brothers films. I don't dislike Zack Snyder's. I've liked most of the films he's put out. Now, the last couple hasn't been that great. But I don't know if that's totally his fault or not.
So, won't they find some young kid? There's plenty out.
Yeah,
in
you
York.
Can find
There's
them, but then you
in
know,
Hollywood.
If
read comics, writers that read comic books, most writers do read comic books.
Okay, but look, they've had three or four directors for the Flash movie, and all of them have walked away because of creative differences. So that has to do with them not agreeing with what the studio want. I have no hope for a Flash movie being any good, because when I saw him in Justice League, I don't know what Flash they were looking at. I mean, the man looks like he has a Power Ranger suit. He doesn't have, he's like, oh, they're trying to make him seem like he socially awkward, and I can't fight. I just push people and run away.
Okay, yeah, that was pretty dumb, but I kind of like their Flash, and I kind of like that actor. He is a very good actor.
Yeah, he's a good actor, but that doesn't mean he's a good Flash.
Hold on, Seth, I'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. So, getting back to what I was saying, I'm watching another video from YouTube. Well, they're saying that the reason why Justice League came out last year was because execs wanted to get their bonuses in before, you know, the merger took place, and they didn't know whether they was going to have a job or not. So, you know, instead of taking their time to really fix Justice League and maybe bringing it out this year, they rushed it to get it out last year so people could get paid. And it's not about making comic book movies as far as making a good movie. It's just about, you know, making money. Look, you're supposed to make money, but it's more of a cash grab than anything. And let's face it, Hollywood may never accept comic book movies as a legit genre. There has been plenty of movies that could have been nominated for Best Picture nine, and Hollywood snubs these movies over and over from ever since Dark Knight, which some people look at that as the best movie that came out that year. Never even sniffed a nomination. When they moved it up to 10 films, let's see, Logan, no nomination. Wonder Woman, no nomination. Avengers, no nomination. Deadpool got a Golden Globe nomination for comedy, but no nomination as far as, at least I don't remember, as far as the Oscars. And, you know, as far as comic book movies, they get the least amount of movies made per year. And yet, you have people walking around saying, oh, it's Hollywood getting sick of it, or the fans getting sick of it. I don't never hear nobody saying people are getting sick of rom-coms or genres like that, horror movies. They still come out. You know, you go see them, you don't go see them. Well, when are you coming back, Mr. Hightower? Let's get to another news story since he's taking forever. This is going to make a lot of people's heads explode. Yes. Marvel. No, I'm sorry. That's not the story I'm talking about. I'm going to get to that later. Marvel will introduce Captain America's son, grandson, in May. Ever since the conclusion of the Diverse miniseries Secret Empire, Mark Waid and Chris Sharmi has been making a conscious effort to bring Captain America back to his patriotic and idealistic roots. However, following Sammy's departure with issue 700, we'll discover how Cap's legacy shaped not only the future of the country, but his family. Captain America 701 by Waid, Leonard Romero, J.G. Jones, and Adam Hughes makes the start of an all-new story arc titled Promised Land, taking place in the year 2314. The solicit teases. The grandson of Steve Rogers lives in the utopian America which has as his ancestors' dream. The legacy of Captain America has been realized, but something sinister lies beneath the surface. Then 702 by Waid and Romero and Howard Chalkin and Chris Sprouse. Jack Rogers' effort to rescue his son will ultimately lead him into the bowels of the earth, far from an idealistic surface, and a meeting with the descendant of another notable Marvel hero. While it's unclear...
Alright, I'm back.
Okay, real quick. Let me finish this one. While it's unclear who the aforementioned character is a descendant of, it states that within reason to assume that it's someone close to Cap. So Tony Stark, Sam Wilson, or Bucky Barnes all have are prime suspects. Then again, the fact that this is a meeting seemingly taking place underground could be a clue that it's the descendant of Hawkeye, who formed a coalition called the Underground to oppose Hydra Cap regime during Secret Empire. That wasn't the story that's going to make people's heads explode, but I'm going to get to that soon. Okay, so you're back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Let's see if I can find the story. If not, I'll just tell you verbally. Here it is. Here's a story going to make a lot of people's heads explode. So, if you're sitting down, make sure you're sitting down, because you might not like this story if you haven't heard it yet. I'm not talking to you, Mr. Hightower. Ta-Nehisi Coates is taking over Captain America on July 4th. If you don't know who that is the current writer of the Black Panther. And that is why a lot of people's heads are going to explode, because he writes a lot of articles that makes people very upset. This is writer Ta-Nehisi Coates and artist Liang Yu will relaunch Captain America on July 4th as part of Marvel's Fresh Start initiative, and Alex Ross will provide the covers. What you say?
I said I don't really care about Marvel comic books right now. Go ahead.
Coates, the acclaimed journalist and author who relaunched the Black Panther 2016, made an announcement this morning in a column for The Atlantic. He will continue to write the Black Panther, joined by artist Daniel Curry. And that's going to get a new number one, too. But, Coates, he does not have a problem writing articles about, the truth about America from time to time, and it upsets a lot of people. So they may not like the fact that he's writing Captain America.
Yeah, that's kind of, if especially if he's, well, you never know. It might be good, too, though.
Yeah, well, he said that what he has to do is not write Cap from his voice, but try to bring out Cap's voice through him, so.
Because X-Men Red and X-Men Gold and X-Men Blue have been pretty good books.
Mm-hmm.
So
I haven't read X-Men in a while, so.
It ain't as typical as most Marvel comic books is going towards right now.
I did cry.
It might be something different.
I did cry reading Thor this week. She's going to die next month. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a blaze of glory as she goes out to her death. Because she's laying in the whole story, this issue, she's laying in the bed close to death with cancer. And she's thinking back to when she was a child, her mother was dying of cancer. And how her mother told her, how she wasn't really into religion, but she should find a God that's worthy of worshiping. And so she's laying in the bed in the same predicament. You got Doctor Strange trying to help her, and Sam Wilson is checking in on her. Rosalind Sanchez, the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, checking on her. And then Thor left his houndhog dog that he found, Thorry, to keep the hammer from getting to it. And Thorry, he's sitting outside talking about, I'm going to murder all hammers. Are you a hammer? Do I have to murder you? So while she's laying in the bed, Mangog is destroying Asgardia, kicking the hell out of both Thor and Odin and Freyja, and pounding them to death. And so Jane figures, I got to do this. And so her touching this hammer will assure her death, as far as a mortal goes. And she takes the hammer anyway to go save Asgardia and Thor and everybody. And of course, once she defeats this creature, she turns back to Jane Foster. She will die. So.
Mm. Okay.
And that's it's the whole storyline was the death of the mighty Thor. So you knew this was happening anyway. And the thing is... There's been a war of the Nine Realms led by Malekith, and the war has been going on because Odin, instead of getting off his ass and putting an end to this war, he's been locked up in a room because his wife was stabbed by Loki and put into a coma, and he's been sitting over her until she's recently come out the coma. Instead of going in and putting an end to Malekith and his war, where all these other realms are, they're being slaughtered left and right, so that the Roxanne Corporation could come in and mine these places for the natural resources.
Mm.
Anyway, are you a fan of The Rocketeer?
No.
You never saw the movie?
Mm-mm.
Well, you may be able to watch the TV show. Disney Junior announces a Rocketeer series coming next year.
Disney?
Disney Junior.
Disney Junior? No.
You don't watch Disney Junior?
Why would I watch Disney Junior?
You got kids.
I know, but he's more of a Nickelodeon guy.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe you have a reason to watch
Cartoon Disney. Network.
Maybe he'll have a reason of watching it now.
My niece do watch a lot of Disney Junior.
Okay. Let's see. You see the first picture as Zachary Levi as Shazam?
No. I don't even know if I want to see that movie.
Why not?
Come on now.
What's wrong with Shazam?
They keep pulling out bullshit.
You know, that doesn't mean that this is going to be bullshit. I mean, Wonder Woman wasn't bullshit.
Wonder Woman wasn't.
Justice League wasn't bullshit. I mean,
Justice League wasn't. It wasn't. I did like Justice League.
And yeah, I still like Man of Steel. So,
Man of Steel is probably the best one out of all of them.
Besides Wonder Woman. No. Wonder Woman is the best one.
Yeah.
But no. So there's a picture of him in the costume, and you know, I have to see. Like, seeing a picture doesn't mean anything to me because I have to see actual footage before, you know, I'd say, well, yeah, they picked the right person to play Captain Marvel. Now, Zachary Levi, he did play as one of the Warriors Three in the second and third Thor movie.
My thing is, John Cena would have been a good fucking pick to play Suzanne. I think he could have
maybe, but why?
And this could have been his breakout. What's the name? And I would have actually did it with him and The Rock. This could have actually been his breakout movie.
I guess they wanted somebody who was more of an actor though to play the role. Yeah, yeah. But I probably John Cena could have pulled it off, but you never know. And then The Rock, well, he's supposed to get his own movie. And if they put him in the movie with Zachary Levi, well, it's not even going to look funny. Because The Rock is just way much bigger than this person. And they should be the same size.
So Black Adam going to have his own movie.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's like history within itself. Well, fictional history. But, you know, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I see why they're making a movie when I forgot all about that they doing Black Adam movie. That makes sense.
Now, did you watch Walking Dead last week?
Sorry, bro.
No, it's just yes and no.
I'm not a fucking Walking Dead fan.
There's a reason for me asking these questions.
No.
Because this was the lowest rating mid-season premiere yet. And I don't know if, the pay-per-view for wrestling had anything to do with last week or not.
Ew.
Or that, you know, people just have not liked this season's Walking Dead.
Walking Dead is dead.
Well, they're getting a new showrunner next year, so you never know. And then I hear stuff about them wanting to do more spinoffs. I've tried watching Fear the Walking Dead, and I can't get into it. So
they're gonna do a spinoff to Game of Thrones.
Who knows?
Makes sense.
So you're a Hawk fan, right?
Seahawks?
No, a Hawk. The Hawk.
The Hawk?
Yes, the Hawk.
No, I do not like the Hawk.
What's wrong with you?
He's all right. Hawkman?
Hawkman? No, the Hawk. The Incredible Hawk.
Oh, I thought you said... No.
Well, you know, he's coming back to life. Now he's the Immortal Hawk. The premise is going to be, whenever Banner is killed, the Hawk will turn into the Hawk and then bring Banner back to life. So that's going to be one of the premises going forward. Now, the last time we saw the Hawk in the comics was during Secret Empire, when Evil Cap used him as a weapon against the heroes that was held up in Nevada in this secret bunker. And Hydra couldn't get into the bunker, so they dropped the Hawk on him. And the Hawk busted right through the bunker. And most of the heroes got out, and they detonated a gamma bomb. So the Hawk was believed to be dead again. But apparently, you know, he survived, and now he's about to show up in this current Avengers storyline, No Surrender. And he's getting his own book written by Ewing and Bennett. And yeah, so if you kill Banner off and you bury him, nighttime comes around, he will turn into the Hawk and dig his way out, and then Banner's alive again also.
What you think about, have you been reading Doomsday Clock?
Yes and no. I'm a little bit behind, but I've got them all.
You got them all? Okay.
How many issues have come out?
I think I got about, I think it's three or four. No, three.
Okay, because I was wondering, like, when there hasn't been a Doomsday Clock come out.
Slow start. It's going to be slow start, but when you get to three, book three,
I was wondering why a new issue hasn't came out yet. So
no, it was supposed to come out this month. Yeah. It's coming out next month.
So they're doing the whole delay thing. Okay.
Delay. They keep delaying it. Yeah. Good book.
Yeah, and I've been reading this Avengers No Surrender, where the Earth is snatched away, and the Grandmaster is playing this cosmic game with this other creature who also is like an elder of the universe that we've never seen before. Mm. And their backstory is, they, you know, as the elders came together, they both had the same thing of playing games. And this other guy said, you know, maybe I'll call myself the Grandmaster. And they had a game once where the current Grandmaster beat him and then tricked him and locked him away in some pocket universe. So now he's back to get his title, get his title back. And they snatched the Earth away as a playing field. And one side chose the Black Thanos' Black Order, and the other side chose the Lethal Legion. And they're fighting each other around the planet to get to these pyramids. And whichever team wins, that elder wins. But the Avengers is, you know, the Grandmaster picked the Earth because the Avengers are in the way to, you know, spoil the game. So
So they're in the middle of everything.
Right, and the Avengers don't know what's going on. All they know is these threats are there, and they go running out to fight them. And they discovered when you touch one of these pyramids, they think that they're like the Human Torch touched one, so they think he's dead, and really he's captured. You know, the pyramid captures you; it doesn't really kill you, but they don't know that. And let's see,
The Human Torch is back in the back in the comics again, huh?
Well, the Human Torch never went nowhere.
I thought this
Mr. Fantastic and Invisible Woman and their kids, they haven't been gone since the end of Secret Wars. But the Thing and the Human Torch, they've been there. The Thing was part of Guardians of the Galaxy for a while, and the Human Torch was part of the Inhuman book because he was sleeping with Medusa.
Ooh, which one? Which book? There's not that many books out.
Well, the Inhuman book.
There's no Inhuman.
The Uncanny Inhumans.
You talking about Uncanny?
Yeah, Uncanny Inhumans, yes.
Okay, because that's Inhumans is one of my favorite, actually, besides the X-Men. Inhumans, like, is...
So, did you like the X-Men versus Inhumans?
No, I gotta read that. I haven't read that. I'm gonna have to read that, but I heard it was good, though. Got that next on my book. No, I've just been reading. You know, I've been reading my regular Batman, White Knight, and that's about it. Batman and Metal, still Dark Knight, still trying to get over this damn shit. So fucking weird. It's not a good. DC messed that up. Dark Knight Metal. It's not a good comic book.
I know a lot of people, they loving that stuff, but you know, they big DC fans anyway. So
it's all over.
Did you see the Wreck-It Ralph 2 trailer?
Yes, and I want to see that. I'm gonna take my son to go see that.
Maybe they'll come up with a Mr. Fix-It 2 game. Cause you know, when the first Wreck-It Ralph came out, they made a Mr. Fix-It game, like an actual arcade game.
Yeah.
And you know, like the old, like the Donkey Kong, you're going up the side of the building fixing stuff, and you got to get to the top to stop Ralph. So for Wonder Woman 2, guess who's in talks to play Cheetah?
That stupid white girl.
Kristen Wiig. No, she's not stupid. She's talented.
She's talented, but she's not. She's not like.
Yeah, that don't. That don't mean she can't. We don't know.
No.
She could be the right person for the role.
No, because I saw some of her real movies, like drama movies. No, she's not.
Her drama movies have been good.
No, we need somebody serious, more serious than that.
Yeah, she's capable. She's done serious movies. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but to me, it wasn't that good.
What movie are you talking about?
What movie that she was in that was supposed to say felt sorry for? It wasn't that fucking good.
Yeah, I've liked most of the movies she's been in that was serious. Let me see. Let me bring her up on her IMDb.
It was one movie where she was terrible.
I think it's going to be an interesting choice if she does play Cheetah. I mean, she's not the person you would expect for them to cast. But then again, you know, if the right people, if this is what Patty Jackson wants, then she may know. She may know what she's looking for, and maybe. Maybe this person will be the right person for the role, depending on how they want to do it. Let's see. So,
oh, I'm thinking about somebody else. Okay, that's not her. Never mind.
She's a Saturday Night Live girl, you know.
I thought somebody. You think
of Kristen Stewart?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, come on, no, not Kristen Stewart. No, that's she. She did Twilight.
Let me see what movie she played in. Because I know that she is a cool actor.
Well, she does the voice. She does the voice in the Despicable Me movies. She was just in Downsizing. She was in Mother, which not a lot of people saw yet. She was one of the Ghostbusters.
She's a very funny character.
Mastermind, yeah.
I would have picked a black woman though, if I was them.
Yeah, maybe.
I would have went with a Halle Berry.
No, that would upset a lot of people.
Why?
Because she was Catwoman, and people hate that movie.
Yeah.
I could see Halle playing Cheetah. That doesn't sound bad in my opinion.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Now let me read this. It says Kristen Wiig is in talks to play the villainous Cheetah in the upcoming sequel Wonder Woman 2, according to Deadline. Cheetah is the most well known of the Wonder Woman rogues gallery. Director Patty Jackson is returning behind the camera for Wonder Woman 2 and is currently co-writing a script with Dave Callahan and DC Films co-chair Geoff Johns. The producing credit on the films are still in flux after Zack and Deborah Snyder left DC Films during the production of Justice League, and Warner Brothers deal with financial Rat Pack Entertainment is ending soon after the fallout from the Brett Ratner scandal. Good riddance to Brett Ratner. And here's the thing: when they announced Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, I thought, hey, she's gonna be too small, but she pulls the role off pretty well. You know, bulked up a bit now. Kristen Wiig. You know, maybe they'll put her in the gym, put on some muscle. And, you know, she's a good actress. And maybe this is the role she needs to, you know, get people to stop thinking of her as just a pure comedian. So,
but she got to be vicious because, you know, that Cheetah is very vicious.
Yeah.
Very, very vicious in the comics.
I don't
look, video games.
I don't understand how strong Cheetah is, but if Wonder Woman is supposed to be as strong as Superman, how is that Cheetah is a threat to her?
Cheetah is a threat, some type of threat. I mean, she could be a threat. Was she like a demigod or something like that?
I don't know. I don't know Cheetah's backstory. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I think she's some type of demigod or something. Or shit, won't they have Wonder Woman's sister?
Well, no. I want to see if they introduce Wonder Girl or not at some point.
They should introduce Wonder Woman's sister.
Who's her sister?
That's a black girl.
Okay, what's her name? Who is she?
Wonder Woman. No, no. You know they gonna start putting black people in all different type of movies.
I want to see the Amazonian woman fight the Thor Milaje. I know I just messed that up. I want to see them slug it out to who would come out on top, because all of them are some fierce women. There was a couple women that played in both movies. That was in Black Panther and in Wonder Woman. So it'd be hard to pick who would win that. So the Flash movie has another director, Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly. So they need two guys to come in to do this Flash film. And like I said, I'm not on board with Flash. You've lost your window with me to be excited for it. You can't get a director. You can't get a script. You probably ain't going to make your date. I think Flash was originally supposed to come out this year. And now who knows when it's coming out. So. And yeah, just bring in Grant Gustin, man. Hello, you still there? Hightower?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm still here.
Yeah, bring in Grant Gustin. Everybody wants the TV and the movies to cross over, so.
They do need to cross over with movies and TV. Like, I would have put the old boy as Flash.
You would or you wouldn't?
I would have. And Arrow. Might as well, because they are very popular on the CW, which...
I don't think you're going to see Arrow in a movie for a long time, whether it's the same guy from the TV or a different guy.
But you would think that they would have put him in Justice League.
Because he's similar to Batman, they probably would think it would be a waste.
I don't know.
I mean, they can't, and plus they can't even get the, you know, this talks about them rebooting the DCU, but they can't because Wonder Woman 2 is already in development, and the first Wonder Woman was successful, and then Aquaman is coming out, so...
They can keep going. They just don't scratch it. Just keep going with different people that actually like comic books. Like the people that don't like fucking comic books.
You know,
that's what's wrong.
I think they got, you know, it talks about Jake Gyllenhaal playing Batman. It's like, why?
Because, you know,
Jake Gyllenhaal of all people. Look, he's a good actor. I don't see him as Bruce Wayne.
Hold on, Jake Gyllenhaal. I gotta look at him. Jake Gyllenhaal.
You know him when you see him. He's been in plenty of movies.
He can play Batman. He would actually be a better Batman.
He what?
He could play Batman.
I don't see it.
I see it. But we need a Joker, though. We need that actual Joker.
Well, that's the thing. Well, they got a Joker where they stick with him, and then they talking about doing a standalone Joker movie and a Harley Quinn and Joker movie. And in a Harley Quinn movie, and they just trying to just throw things up to try to make money off of it.
Now, what I am going to say you probably ain't going to like is the Flashpoint. I heard that's going to actually be the Flashpoint Paradox movie. They're actually moving forward with that. So we
know.
Get to
it's
see.
A mistake.
We get the ain't no mistake. We
yes,
possibly
it
get because it's Elseworld.
You're doing a storyline with no setup.
Doesn't matter.
It does
one
matter.
One day he's walking. Because we already know about Flash. We don't see. This is one thing I do like what
we don't know about the movie version of Flash. And
okay. Who cares?
Okay,
that's the thing.
Well, apparently people do, because you know, all
apparently all, I don't care about all the
listen, if you're DC and all the movies you made is making less money from the last one, why
you, who, I don't know. People like might like Martha Joker. That's all I want to see.
No, you're not getting all that. That's the thing. You're not getting all that.
Let's get Meryl Streep to play Martha Joker.
Okay, but then you take it away from the actual Flash movie when you're trying to throw in, you know, Martha Joker and Thomas Wayne Streep, Batman.
Martha Joker? Ooh. She'll play a good fucking woman Joker.
She got Mama Mia. You can't do that. She got Mama Mia coming out. Mama Mia too.
You can just imagine her playing Joker, Martha Joker. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. It's one of my favorite Elseworld characters in DC.
Mm-hmm. They didn't even put her in the cartoon movie, did they?
No, they did. They just have you ever saw the movie? When she was crying and she started laughing?
Yes, but I'm saying like they didn't.
She was Joker.
Right, I know that, but I'm saying they didn't put her in the movie like as her running around as the Joker.
Mm-mm, they should have though.
But they didn't have room for that, and that wasn't what the story was with Flashpoint.
But they did reference her a couple of times.
Yeah, I know that. I know. Still, they didn't put her in because you can't. If you're doing Flashpoint, you can't be doing all this other side stuff too. That's why they have side books.
That's why, one of the best. Ain't that Earth? I think that's Earth. What is that? Earth 8?
And then what? You going to come back to a new 52 DCU? Is that what you're going to do? Okay.
I don't know, man. It's just...
The same reason why I say that I don't think Dark Phoenix is going to work. The same reason why I don't think Flash Paradise is going to work. Because you're setting up... You're trying to tell a story without any real setup.
What if it do, though?
I could see them doing it as a second or third movie. But doing it as your first movie, when you really barely know who this Flash character is, what reality are you going to change when you don't know what this guy's reality is? They're just doing it because, oh, we got the title. It was a popular title. Let's try to make money off of it. It's like the Avengers doing the Infinity Gauntlet in their first film. Nobody would have cared because nobody knows. Because if you don't know who Thanos is, you don't know what the Infinity Gauntlet is like, then it's not going to matter. But now you've seen enough movies where you've seen the different Infinity items throughout the different movies, and you know how they work. So now when you see it all comes together, you're like, damn, what kind of power is this? You got to set things up. And, you know, I don't get paid, so nobody cares about my opinion anyway. You know what they do care about, Mr. Hightower?
What they care about?
The other shows here on RantEMRadio.com throughout the week. Monday nights is the Sports Reports Live, 11:15. Yes, I'm saying things plurally. It's the Sports Reports. Anyway, Tuesday is a doubleheader of wrestling fun. First, you get the Shining Wizards live at 7 p.m., and then the man who's not the boss of me, the Rant, at 9 p.m. Thursday is Rant and Wrestling, and then Friday's Turnbuckle Throwback. And then we'll be back next Sunday, the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show, the flagship shows of comic book shows. And is it a pay-per-view next week, right? I don't know who's hosting it, whether we're doing any pre and post shows. You know,
it's Fastlane, so he might. I think he might. I don't know.
And your cousin, you know, he's going to main event WrestleMania, so.
Which I don't really care about it no more. It is what it is, right?
What, WrestleMania or him main event?
WrestleMania, him main event in WrestleMania again. Somebody better turn heel. If we said so they gotta make somebody happy.
Roman Reigns is the only person who can turn heel.
John Cena.
Who's he gonna fight?
Beat the living shit out of Undertaker. I just want to beat the living shit out of Undertaker.
I don't want to see Undertaker wrestle again.
No, I want to see him wrestle to get his ass whooped by John Cena.
No, what? Then you're ruining what made the Undertaker.
He want to fight. You get jobbed out.
You're ruining. You know, you're taking off the luster of what.
Don't care. You done.
You know him losing two WrestleMania matches. That to me, I mean, I don't think he should have lost to Brock Lesnar. And then if he was going to lose to Roman Reigns, it would mean something. But now he's old. He's broken down. He's old looking. He needs to go home and take care of his wife and kids. Go into the Hall of Fame where he belongs. Maybe do a movie cameo or two, you know? I mean, if Kevin Nash can do movies, the Undertaker can do movies. I mean, Great Khali's been in movies. You know, what's the problem? John Cena's movie career is starting to take off. He got that movie Blockers coming out, Cock Blockers.
That's going to be pretty good. That's going to be one of those typical, like, Adam Sandler movies.
No, it looks like it's, well, Leslie Mann's in it, so that means it's probably produced by her husband.
Yeah.
And
I'm just saying, like, those type of movies is like feel good movies. That's what makes some money. I'm gonna go see it.
Speaking of movies, have you seen any other movies besides Black Panther?
No, but I wanna see that movie with Tyler Perry made, the one with what's the one, Tyler Perry? Yeah. That's gonna be good.
If you say so.
That's gonna be good.
I'm not saying it's not gonna be good, but it looks like every other Tyler Perry movie. Some woman who's been mistreated because, you know, she doesn't have a husband no more.
You don't like A Family That Prays Together? That was one of the best ones he ever made.
I can't say that. I've seen so many Tyler Perry movies, I can't even watch him no more. Because he's not doing anything new or creative or different. The last two movies I saw was the Madea Halloween movies, and that second one was just ridiculous. I liked the first one to a point, but the second one was just a rehash of the same goddamn thing. You know, until Tyler Perry does a movie where, you know, it's not some dark-skinned black man mistreating a woman, and a light-skinned black man rescuing her, and then I'm going to church to pray everything away, and maybe I'll give Tyler Perry
some credit.
That's
where his money at. He
needs to be more creative now. We've had Wakanda. We can't go back to Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry decent.
No. Look, I'll probably go see it.
It's good hood.
I ain't gonna
story,
pay for it because I got movie pass.
Once you look at let me recommend a movie to you. Recommendation: Bradley's. Once you go see Brotherly Love, it's about Philly anyway.
See what?
Brotherly Love.
I've seen that movie.
You seen that movie?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind that. All right. Show.
Did it actually take place in Philly?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Because they're talking about Philly the whole time.
Yeah, but that don't mean it took place in Philly, because, you know.
Okay. They're talking about uphill.
You ever see Baby's Daddy?
Yeah.
That was supposed to take place in Philly. That did not take place in Philly.
Okay, but they said Philly, and they were talking about the hoods and all that stuff.
So yeah, that doesn't mean it took place in Philly. Did you see any Philly landmarks?
No, I don't care. No, I don't know about Philly. I just know it was a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I hope you call in next week and week after that and week after that, and, you know.
I'm gonna start trying to again.
You can call in as much as you want. Where's your boy Doom at, man? You know, you hiding.
Yeah, he hiding. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he at.
Mm-hmm. Did I tell you? I thought that the whole fantasy football was fixed. That the owner of the league won. Yeah, everybody called my league fix last year. Okay, I see what's going on here.
He did win the $50 suit, though.
You sent it to him?
Yeah, I sent him through Amazon.
Yeah, that, you're going to waste it. All right. Appreciate all right. Everybody listening in. And, you know, maybe you'll join us next week on Skype. And until next week, we're out. Say goodbye. Peace.